Cause the Goyim know.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 Greenville, South Carolina, Hal Apino's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro broadcasts and webcasts from around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right, well, it is 1:04 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is currently 99 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona. Sunny with 16% humidity. We're here and we made it. It's another Oy Vey Friday, ladies and gentlemen. What better way to get your weekend started than giving the Jewish supremacists the middle finger? We have jokes, clips, articles all lined up for today. Let's have a laugh and maybe learn a thing or two. We will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT,
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
It's time to break free, live on PBFTT, August 18th, 2017. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. All right, so we're just going to start out with a couple jokes here. Let me get it queued up. There we go. All right. One more thing. And there we go. All right. Hitler maybe killed 6 million Jews, but he really saved the History Channel. Why is money green? Because Jews pick it before it's ripe. All right, folks, we're going to start out with a public service announcement from AIPAC.
That's where AIPAC comes in. AIPAC has worked with Congress for decades to counter economic warfare against Israel. In the 1970s, we helped Congress combat the Arab League boycott by preventing American companies from complying. that boycott ultimately failed. In the 2000s, we urged Congress to make ending boycotts against Israel a condition of free trade with the United States. The Arab states of Oman and Bahrain agreed, and America now monitors their compliance. And today, we are succeeding again. As trade talks take place between the United States and the European Union, strong bipartisan majorities in Congress have set a clear standard. EU nations boycotting Israel risk forfeiting the benefits of free trade with America. This wouldn't happen without you, your support for AIPAC, and your commitment to advancing the U.S.-Israel alliance.
Well, don't you feel all warm and fuzzy? Okay, so we're going to start out with a clip titled, Jew Says Amnesty for Illegal Immigrants is at the Top of Their Agenda. It's an interview with Rabbi Steve Gutto of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs, where he admits that the Jews' top agenda is pushing for amnesty for all illegal immigrants. And let's get it going.
What's right now at the top of the agenda for you from within the JCPA?
There are two issues at the top of our agenda at the very moment. One is the unbelievably important immigration debate in this country, to make sure that immigrants from around the world, particularly those from south of our border, have a chance here. The 12 million that, or 13 million that just live here and do work and aren't really going home, that they have a chance to stay here justly and with as legal immigrants. And that debate is so important because we know what it's like to come to another country, even one called the United States of America, where we weren't always so welcome. But because we were welcomed enough, we were able to create this amazing Jewish civilization and be a part of the American civilization. So we have an entire program called Immigration Nation, and we're trying to make sure that the Jewish community steps up to the plate and the broader interfaith community. Second, we do a huge amount of essential work right now in BDS, in boycott, divestment, and sanctions. There's a major effort in the world. It's sort of been stemmed in America for the idea that Israel is not legitimate, that Israel shouldn't be there. It's not about whether or not you believe in settlements or think that they're wrong. It's about whether or not there should be an Israel at all. And I think that it's so important that we Jews stand up as Jews for this very particularistic, that's the word, issue, and that we also stand up for this other issue, this universalistic issue called immigration reform.
By the way, the two examples that Steve gave are very important. I really hope everyone who's watching Shalom TV right now really understands the dynamic that Steve has described. Because every now and then, Steve, there are people who associate, quote, social action with Jews who are just not engaged or involved in the particular issues of Jewish survival, who are not involved in the state of Israel and the attempt to delegitimize it. And what you represent, what the JCPA represents, and what Avodah represents, certainly in its vision, is an understanding that both of these drives, both of these needs, both of these claims in our soul, have a Jewish source. We care about the Jewish people, the state of Israel, and we care about the well-being of the world at large. And in essence, that's what you're doing. And I guess the last thing I want you to talk about is, I want you to tell me again that I'm wrong to worry that, in essence, your experience is that the longer you are within this Jewish community, you find more and more Jews today, young and old, who understand this subtlety and the brilliance of the distinction you're making, and that people today are as involved in A, social action, caring for the stranger as you defined it, and at the same time, those same people are also dedicated to the well-being of the state of Israel. Speak about that to end this discussion.
Two quick statements.
Please.
Last fall, we have made it one of our signature projects in terms of our advocacy is to make sure that the SNAP program, which is the food stamp program, stays alive. Last fall, over 150 rabbis from around America took the food stamp challenge, which is the commitment to live on $31.50 of food per week. They're not generally, there are a lot of Jews that live on food stamps, but that's not what's in their mind.
Correct.
We raised thousands and thousands of dollars, actually, because they did it like a Hazon or an AIDS bike ride. But the truth is, they all gave money, their congregants gave money, but it was a massive, massive undertaking that has inspired Congress, where about 25 Congress members have taken it, where there are thousands of Jews that have taken it. I think everyone should take it. And if SNAP passes, if the food stamp program continues, it won't be just because of the Jewish community. But I promise you, we will have played our role, and people know it. So that's number one. 1,500 rabbis this is a major statement, what I'm about to say. People may just think there's myriads of rabbis, but there aren't. In every state in America, it was not that easy in South Dakota and North Dakota, signed a statement saying to the Presbyterians and the Methodists, we do not believe that BDS, that delegitimization, is an okay thing to do. Many of us are very concerned about the Palestinians. We wrote this in the letter. Many of us are very upset about the growth of the settlements. But that is not the same thing. And so these are the same people that work on food stamps. And these are the same people that they also work very, very diligently on making sure America stays close to Israel and our Christian friends do. They do their part.
I've said it to you before, I'll always say it to you every time I stand with this man. This represents the best of what the Jewish people is and what the Jewish tradition is all about.
Again, that was an interview with Rabbi Steve Guto of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs, where he admits that the Jews' top agenda is pushing for amnesty for illegal immigrants or illegal aliens. Okay, so this next clip is coming from RT, and it's Jew openly admits working with Muslims to destroy Europe.
Happening today, both in Europe and perhaps in other parts of the world, this very intense clash between ostensibly secular and ostensibly religious worldviews.
Yes, this is exactly what is happening. There is a clash of civilizations, and we, the Jews, we are in the middle of this clash of civilizations. On one side is what happened in Paris and Brussels, and that children who walk with the kippah in the streets in Paris are being attacked. On the other side, what we have the counteraction of old Europe. We have the laws against limiting religious freedom in Switzerland against the minorites, in France against the burqa, the attempted law in Germany against circumcision, the attempted law in Holland and in Poland against halal or kosher meat. So this is the reaction of old Europe against this new wave of religious expression.
So essentially what you're saying is that in these both you're together with both Muslims
yes.
And people of other
nations. And we see ourselves together, fighting together with our Muslim brothers who want a free Europe, who want a peaceful Europe, who want to integrate like our forefathers integrated in Western Europe 120 years ago, and they are our natural allies.
The clip just stops abruptly, but you heard it. Our Muslim brothers. That's interesting. So my guess is the way that he frames the whole conversation, he's coming out and talking about anti-Jewish laws. And then he's talking about Muslim migrants. So it sounds to me like he's saying it straight to the TV. If you can read between the lines, he's basically telling you, we're punishing Europe. We're teaming up with the Muslims to punish Europe because of your bad behavior and you making laws against us and not wholly accepting us. And I'm sure it goes way back into the past because they don't forgive or forget anything. So I had a bunch of really interesting articles come up, and we're going to start there. Okay, so this one is posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion on August 18th. It's coming from the Jerusalem Post, and it's by Amatz Asael. Okay. Millions of Americans, some would say American culture itself, and also the entire American civilization have a weakness for idols. It's news to me. We cut the statue below the knees within minutes, a Hungarian student said, recalling the exciting scene in October 1956 at Városliget, Budapest's version of Central Park, where 200,000 Hungarian rebels shouted, "Russians go home," while felling Joseph Stalin's 25-meter idol to the ground. The bronze sculpture's collapse, the disembodiment of the head, and the mutilation of its body memorably sparked the bloody anti-Soviet uprising that shook the world. They were at it. The revolutionaries made two statements about statues that Americans must consider as their president spars with iconoclasts. The first statement was that statues matter. Now, mind you, this is coming from the Jerusalem Post. I'm reading it for information. This is not my viewpoint by any means. Yes, some statues... Wait, hold on. One second. Yes, some statues don't matter. The Sphinx in Gaza, for instance, doesn't matter, as its human identity is not clear even to archaeologists, and its gaze is as hollow as the idiotic expressions of Easter Island's monoliths, which make it difficult for us to relate to them and their mysterious artists. Now, do you agree with that statement? I sure as shit don't. The Sphinx doesn't matter. The Easter Island monoliths don't matter. Okay. What kind of crazy mind do you got to have to say something like that? Most statues, however, do matter, especially the elevated, central, and shining ones, like Nelson's Column in London Trafalgar Square. Shooting 52 meters into the air at one of the world's busiest places, the pillar and statue adorning it powerfully convey the British nation's admiration for the fallen hero of Napoleon's naval defeat. It might not be clear whether England still expects that every man will do his duty as ADM. That might be a, I don't know what they mean, as Adam. Horatio Nelson claimed, or how many Brits are still prepared to act based on this assumption, as he was. But the statue is witness that most Brits still respect an admiral who fought for his country bravely, sacrificially, and victoriously. The same attitude is fostered by Russia's motherland calls, a 52-meter woman, the world's tallest feminine structure, waving skyward a 33-meter sword while overlooking today's Volgograd. Like Nelson's Column, it salutes the battle of Stalingrad's universally admired patriots, and while at it, reflects when compared with Nelson's Column, the difference between Russia enthusiasm and British understatement. Yet monuments don't always arouse admiration. In fact, might spark wrath and absorb violence, which was the Hungarian scene's second lesson. Jews feel uncomfortable beneath the mounted Bohdan Khmelnytsky in Kiev Sofia Square, which commemorates the Ukrainian warrior's arrival there in 1648 after defeating the Polish army, but disregards his Cossacks' simultaneous massacres of thousands of Jews. So that might be something that has to do with the Ukrainian conflict. That might be the Jews trying to get even. Although the Ukraine has gone through much throughout their history just because of their geographic location. The Jewish nation does not demand the statue's removal, mainly because such a move would be impractical. But some monuments that became moral eyesores inspired inventive solutions. That, for instance, is what happened with Rome's Colossus of Nero, a 30-meter-tall chunk of bronze with which the deranged emperor hoped to mortalize himself. Reluctant to destroy it, but also refusing to glorify the man who executed, among others, his mother and wife, his successors, redefined the Colossus as a monument to the sun god Sol by adding its head a crown of sun rays. This article is actually really interesting. It's very revealing. The sun god Sol, that's something you don't hear about too often. And from my understanding, it has a lot to do with Christianity and Catholicism. A more crude solution to a similar dilemma was deployed in Prague's Letná Park in 1962 when a massive granite monument to the newly disgraced Stalin was blasted with 800 kilograms of dynamite. Violent as the solution was, it was mild compared with China's massacre in 1989 of the students who gathered around the goddess of democracy they had planted in the middle of Tiananmen Square. Statues, in short, can provoke as much as they can
inspire. The goddess of democracy was called Justinia.
Justinia? Excellent.
As in justice.
And now, can you tell me a little bit about the history of that? Who put it there? Was it destroyed? What's going on exactly?
That would be Greek.
But who, they're claiming it was in Tiananmen Square. How did it get there?
Because, like, people walked across the land when it was all connected at one time.
So you're saying it's historic? It's a historic monument in Tiananmen Square?
I would have to say that people are a lot more connected than they think they are.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand the history of it because it's news to me.
Well, then Google Justinia.
Well, unfortunately, the way I have to run my broadcast, I can't access the internet right now. But if you're willing to do it, I'd be glad to have you come up and read like a short paragraph on it.
No, I'd really not want to. I think people have to do their own research because you'll see it inscribed in a lot of the courts. It's the goddess. It's the goddess religion. Justinia. Justice.
Doesn't,
all right? And she's a very cruel god, according to the Greeks.
Doesn't liberty, the goddess of liberty, kind of fall in line with that concept, or am I wrong in saying that?
Nope. You're right.
So probably that statue in Russia probably falls in line with it as well. Wouldn't surprise me. Okay, so where were we? The goddess of democracy they had planted in the middle of Tiananmen Square. Okay, statues, in short, can provoke as much as they can inspire, and they can also be dangerous for one's health. That's interesting. And not only one's health, but also that of an entire nation. That is what is now at stake in the U.S. I first learned of Robert E. Lee's many monuments in the U.S. in Professor Arthur Gorin's American History class at Hebrew University. There was a quest for appeasement after the Civil War, he explained, and the victors sought ways to salvage their enemies' honor. They thus added Confederate heroes like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson to the pantheon of national heroes, said Gorin, with some enthusiasm for the vision and generosity that this attitude required. Okay. Is that true in the South? Are they trying to say that's true in the South? That doesn't make any sense. Maybe if they put up a Civil War monument for the Confederacy in the North, they were doing it to, you know, appease, but I doubt the Southerners did it for that reason. Lee's personal promotion of the spirit of appeasement by visiting his formal rival, Ulysses S. Grant, in the White House, added legitimacy to the monuments, which were interpreted as hailing not the South's racism, but the North's benevolence. Were he wise and enlightened, Donald Trump would have mentioned this when he spoke against removing Lee's monument. But Trump is both unwise and ignorant, and thus ignored the spirit of national appeasement that Lee's monuments were meant to foster. Yeah, okay. National appeasement, my ass. Coupled with his revolting response to the ramming attack and anti-Semitic rally in Charlottesville, Virginia last weekend, it is clear that before it removes any of its monuments, America must first remove its president. So again, this is coming from the Jerusalem Post, people. This does not contradict the fact that the monuments themselves pose a dilemma. Where will it stop? What will happen when, say, American Muslims demand the removal of a Lincoln statue from their town because, as a human image, it hurts their religious feelings? Fortunately, there is one problem we Israelis don't have. The sword-waving Elijah's idol by the Carmelite monastery, the self-defense pioneer Alexander Said's mounted statue overlooking Jezreel Valley, and Warsaw ghetto hero Mordecai I'm going to butcher the last name, so I'm not even going to try it. Lean image holding a grenade at Kibbutz Yad Mordechai are often beaten paths except to the rule, which is that Israel does not create monuments to its leaders. Evidently inspired by Judaism's ancient clash with idolatry, the closest we come to such commemoration is the soccer ball-sized bust of our founding father at the entrance to Ben Gurion Airport. Had Americans adopted this attitude in the first place, they would not have faced the dilemma their many political and military monuments now pose. But that attitude was out of the question, since millions of Americans, some would say American culture itself, and also the entire American civilization, have a weakness for idols. That's how they got Trump. So did you want to make a comment or anything? I'm hearing a little bit of background noise. Okay, so again, that was coming from the Jerusalem Post. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion, and the title of that article was Middle Israel, Who Moved My Statue? So I have another really interesting article coming from the Jerusalem Post for after the break. But we're getting real close to the bottom of the hour, folks, so stay tuned.
With lies. I try to laugh about it, hiding the zog from their eyes, cause goys don't cry. Goys don't cry. I would tell goyim I hate them, but a victim I can't play, while I scream about the bars of soap, gas chambers, and lampshades. I try to laugh about it, dumb down the goy with fluoride. I try to laugh about it, hiding the hoax from their eyes, cause goys don't cry. Goys don't cry. I would do most anything to get shekels for the yids, while I spray white phosphorus to Palestinian kids. Donate to APAC, have a mitzvah, go fight in Iraq, go play at the Wailing Wall. We control the media, Hollywood, and the porno biz, keeping the goyim distracted with our bread and circuses, cause goys don't.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
What a showa! Goyim, don't guess me. Don't guess me. No more. Goyim, don't guess me. Don't guess me. Shlomo. What a show up. Boy, babe. I don't know why you always hate me. You didn't do nothing but usury. Don't call me kind, your boys are wrong. Give me a shekels. What a shower. Goyim, don't guess me. Don't guess me. No more. What a shower. Goyim, don't guess me. Don't guess me. Shlomo. It's a nut shower. A shower. Oy vey. It's a new shower. I don't know, what can I do? Voices can't help but blame us Jews, but they will learn to love the Jews for New Zion. What a shower. Goyim, don't guess me. Don't guess me. No more. What a shower. Goyim, don't guess me. Don't guess me. Shlomo. It's another shower. A shower. Oy vey. It's another show, a show, oy vey.
What a show,
Bad Goyim, Bad Goyim, Bad Goyim.
What a show,
Bad Goyim, Bad Goyim, Bad Goyim.
What a show,
Goyim, don't guess me, don't guess me, no more. Don't guess me. Don't guess me. Now I know other, know other Auschwitz. This is our world, our time. You pay for the show, now stop with Rahoa. Shut it down.
What a show, Goyim, don't guess me. Don't guess me. No more. What a show, Goyim, don't guess me, don't guess me, Shlomo.
Oy vey, it's another show, a show, oy vey. It's another show, a show, oy vey.
a nudist show, a show, oy vey, what a show,
It's Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. It is 1:38 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. And I'm not exactly sure who put that together, but you can find it on YouTube. Just search What a Shoah. That's S-H-O-A-H. And if you don't know what that word means, it's either Hebrew or Yiddish for Holocaust. So, yeah. Anyway, we have fun being politically incorrect on Oy Vey Friday. So this next article posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. Written on August 18th, today, 2017, coming from the Jerusalem Post. And I guess the article is, it's written by JTA, whoever that is. It's titled Antifa, the group that fought white supremacists in Charlottesville. Here's what you need to know about Antifa, the loose network that fights fascists on the streets. So again, I'm not in league with these articles. I'm only reading them for informational purposes. Anybody might just be tuning in or whatever. Is it okay to punch a Nazi in the face? That's the question animating much of the discussion of Saturday's white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, which quickly devolved into a brawl between rally-goers and a contingent of anti-fascist counter-protesters known as Antifa. Following the clashes, a white supremacist rammed his car into the counter-protest, killing Heather Heyer, 32. Leaders and activists across the spectrum, except President Donald Trump, have unequivocally condemned the racist, anti-Semitic rally, but they are divided on whether physically attacking white supremacists is justified simply because they are white supremacists. And I tell you what, folks, you screw with the Jews, they blow your house up. Okay, I just saw a video of that recently coming right off the Jerusalem Post. Somebody shot at one of the border police, and they killed the gentleman, and then afterwards there's video of it. They're drilling holes into the block of his home. It looks like it might be solid poured or it might be stone or something like that with concrete on the outside. They're drilling holes and setting dynamite charges into this gentleman's house to destroy it. So that lets you know how vengeful the Jewish people are. Okay, so some have celebrated the Antifa activists for standing up to the hate, but others have condemned them alongside neo-Nazis for engaging in violence. And on Tuesday, Trump appeared to equate them with the rabble of white supremacists, branding Antifa the alt-left and saying there's blame on both sides. Here's what you need to know about Antifa, the loose network that fights fascists on the streets. Here's the bullshit propaganda you need to know. Anyway, Antifa was born from groups that fought the original fascists. In 1934, Milwaukee police arrested three leftists who infiltrated a pro-Nazi meeting and began scuffling with supporters of Hitler. The leftists were part of a group of several hundred anti-fascists who entered the meeting, broke it up, and pelted the keynote speaker with rotten eggs. The melee ended only after 100 police arrived to restore order. Today's Antifa, an abbreviation for anti-fascist action, sees itself as the ideological descendants of the activists like these, anti-fascist brawlers, many of them communists, socialists, or anarchists. I'm not sure how you could be on the left as an anarchist, but that's my personal belief. The anarchist means no government. So, I don't know. Why would you be? Well, I guess if you want to disrupt the fascists, but you'd want to disrupt the communists as well. Like, if you're truly an anarchist, I couldn't see you wanting to side with either the fascists or the communists. So, you know, propaganda bullshit as it is. Okay, so it began organizing in the 1920s and 30s to oppose the rising dictatorship in Italy, Germany, and Spain through demonstrations and street fights. The groups reemerged in Europe in the 70s and 80s to combat the white supremacists and skinheads, and the idea migrated to America, where groups were originally known as Anti-Racist Action. While it's hard to pin down numbers on Antifa in the United States, members and experts say the movement has boomed since Trump's election. Yeah, since Soros started cutting checks, right? Mark Bray, a lecturer on human rights and politics at Dartmouth College, estimates that there are a couple hundred Antifa chapters of varying sizes and levels of activity across the country. Well, as far as what Homeland Security does with people in our camp, they all have us pinned. They study us. You're telling me they don't know where all of these groups are and who all of their leaders are? I call bullshit on that. They don't want to know.
Bullshit.
Double bullshit.
There you go. The threat posed by the alt-right... Hold on, let me make sure I'm not missing anything. The threat posed by the alt-right in the context of empowerment through Trump made a lot of people concerned about fasci, neo-Nazi white supremacist violence, said Bray, author of the forthcoming book Antifa, the Fascist Handbook. Now, if Trump's Israel's number one president, right... And all of his children have married into Jewish families. And Pence is a cheerleader for Israel and Zionism. Then why would anybody, why would any neo-Nazi in their right mind support Trump? Does that make any sense whatsoever? Okay. They turned to the Antifa model as an option to resist it. The option of physically confronting these groups has spread among the left and been normalized. Now, we had some images of these little, what appeared to me to be college students at the rally. Or no, excuse me, it wasn't the rally. It was Heather Heyer's funeral. They had some of these Antifa communists standing there with purple baseball bats and shields. Did you see
David?
That? Yeah.
Where did this word Antifa come from? This is the first time I've heard of it for, like, you know, 2 weeks. Who developed this word?
Well, they're claiming it's a historical institution going back about 100 years or a little less to fight the fascists. But I had not heard of Antifa until the fight at Berkeley and the ones in Portland started happening. And the point that I was making, go ahead.
It's a blanket statement. It's a catch-all for stupid people.
Exactly. Yeah, it's to rile people up on one side or the other. Even the Jews amongst their own people, they propagandize the shit out of their own people. And they have a left and they have a right just the same as us. But one thing I found interesting is there was photos of these big fat broads standing outside of Heather Heyer's funeral, I believe on Tuesday, I don't know, it was very soon after her death, and they were standing there with purple baseball bats and shields, and it looked exactly like a picture that I saw a month or two ago coming from one of the colleges in Washington State, where these same liberal douchebag, fat body people are walking around the campus supposedly terrorizing everybody. So a lot of this stuff seems completely freaking staged to me, and that goes right in line with your comments, Flea.
David?
Yes.
Big girls need loving too.
Well, they do, but I mean, well, my point is, are these individuals that you would need to be afraid of? Okay? I mean, they're not just, you can be heavy set and be strong as an ox. Okay? These girls look like they just sit on their ass all day. So when you look at these people, you would laugh at them because there's really nothing that they could do. You know, unless they're beating up on petite little girls, there's really nothing that they can do. And the fact that they're even putting this out in the media and trying to stir us up about it is ridiculous. But again, you would have to reference those two photos to know where I'm coming from. But yeah. So where were we at? Okay, it has no – okay, so we're talking about Antifa. It has no formal organization or leadership structure. Like the Occupy movement and Black Lives Matter, Antifa has no institutional structure or unified plan of action. Well, isn't that interesting? Yeah, it probably has, it's probably the damn Jews and Soros and the rest of them. That's their structure. They're just hired and paid, what's the term I'm looking for? Agitators. Much of his activism comes through informal collaboration around certain cities or regions and individual members taking initiative. Separate Facebook pages exist, for example, for New York Antifa and New York City Antifa and Western New York Antifa. Yeah, I'm from Western New York, and we had our race riots right in town, too. And we had Saul Alinsky come in there stirring shit up just as well. Long before Antifa gets to physical altercations with the right, members will attempt to prevent white supremacists from assembling or spreading their message. Bray said some Antifa members will pressure white supremacist employers to fire them. Okay. Daniel Sierra Diski, a Jewish Antifa member who became involved following the presidential election in November, said he and other activists try to pressure venues to cancel white supremacist events and only show up to counter-protest ones that fail. Sierra Diski formerly worked at JTA as the director of digital media. Well, that's interesting now, isn't it? I've always identified with the spirit of the movement. This is in quotes, which is, okay, I'll just start over. Quote, I've always identified with the spirit of the movement, which is to challenge racists when they come into your community and try to incite hatred and violence, Sierra Diski said. Every effort is made to prevent the Nazis from showing up in the first place. Once they manage to do so, the demonstrations do not get violent until confrontations are provoked. Antifa tends to align with the left, and some members are anti-Zionist. So, yeah, this is a big thing with the BDS movement. They tend to look at the left and speak about the left when they're talking about BDS much more than they do the right. Because Antifa is loosely constructed, it has no formal ideological agenda beyond opposing fascism. But the movement has roots in left-wing movements like socialism and anarchism. Bray said that members may be part of other left-wing activist groups like the Occupy movement and subscribe to ideas popular in progressive circles. The Torch Network, a group of Antifa chapters. Well, that's an interesting name in its own right. The Torch Network includes in its points of unity opposition to all forms of oppression and exploitation. That includes fighting against racism, sexism, nativism, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, homophobia, transphobia, and discrimination against the disabled and the oldest, the youngest and the most oppressed people. The group is also pro-choice, unlike the movement for Black Lives, unlike the Movement for Black Lives platform. It does not single out Israel or Zionism. Bray said that while anti-Zionism is not a focus of Antifa, many members tend to be anti-Zionist as part of their far-left activism. So anti-Zionist and far-left activists, I'm guessing they just support Palestine. They do not support the two-state, you know, whatever. But then again, most of these people are probably just hired and faked, and they just got a bunch of string pullers. Anti-racist action groups, he said, had taken part in anti-Zionist events in the past. Sierra Diski said, however, that Jews play a significant role in the movement because we're fighting Nazis and anti-Semitism is the prime ideological viewpoint of Nazis. Wait a second. Let me try to reread that. However, that Jews play a significant role in the movement because we're fighting Nazis and anti-Semitism is the prime ideological viewpoint of Nazis. Hey, I read it, folks. It's not clicking in my brain. Antifa has no problem with fighting Nazis. Antifa has no qualms about scuffling with white supremacists. The group gained publicity in February when it physically fought alt-righters at the University of California, Berkeley, during a speech by alt-right provocateur Milo Yiannopoulos. Tussles with the far right have followed at other events. Now, I don't know if you ever looked into that Milo Yiannopoulos, however you say his name, but he's a freaking joke, if there ever was one. Fake as hell. As fake as it gets. A total megalomaniac. You thought Trump was a megalomaniac? This guy's a joke. Anyway, yeah, Milo alt-right. Put that in YouTube, you'll find him. Sierra Disky said violence is a last resort, but added there's nothing wrong with responding to anti-Semitic or racist rhetoric with a punch. Well, it's assault now, isn't it? You're going to assault people because of their rhetoric? Yeah, I think there is something wrong with assaulting people because of their rhetoric, generally speaking. Go ahead.
I have a solution. All males have to have sex with fat, anti-Jewish women.
Yeah, but if we had sex with Jewish women, we'd have Jewish children. We don't need any more of them around, do we?
Lisa? Not really, but they won't know because we won't tell them. We'll just change history.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we'll just take over the Google headquarters and just start changing everything around, right? Just like they're doing. Which is accelerating, mind you. They're going nuts with that stuff. I had a clip I was going to play about internet censorship coming from Israel. They were getting real paranoid and voicing their concerns back in 2012, 2013, and started to formulate plans to combat anti-Semitism. But it was too informational. It wouldn't have made good radio. Maybe I'll pull it up again and make sure it gets up on the trenches so y'all can take the time to review it. Okay, where was I? He's ready with a punch. When Nazis are screaming epithets in our faces, should we just smile? Sarah Disky asked. They come into towns and yell at us and threaten us and say they want to kill us. Should we take that sitting down because fascists deserve free speech too? When someone is threatening you with an existential threat, you fight back. You don't stand there and take it. All right, well, I'll give you a threat. I'm over here and I ain't ever going to stop speaking the truth. I'm armed to the teeth, and the day that you pull the shit, I'm going to come out my door and shoot you pricks. So how's that? Come and get me anytime you like. Antifa members also reject the notion that the movement instigated the violence in Charlottesville or is as guilty as its white supremacist foes. Spencer Sunshine, who counter-protest... Wow, is that a hippie name if I ever heard one? Spencer Sunshine, who counter-protest at the Charlottesville rally and witnessed the deadly car ramming, said there certainly were fights, but there is nothing comparing Antifa with the far right. Any equivalence between Antifa and the fascists is a complete lie, he said. We were not armed the way the fascists were and certainly did not drive a car into crowds. It was totally a Nazi rally. Well, I don't think anybody got shot, did they? And I don't really know anything about that 20-year-old gentleman. And I don't know why he did what he did. And I'm not going to jump to any conclusion. Honestly, I don't even know if it happened because when I review the videos, I can see there's interesting photos, but you can fake all that stuff. But when I review the videos, I'm not actually seeing anybody getting hit. I see a couple people take a ride on the hoods of the vehicle, but I'm not seeing anybody actually getting run over. I'm not seeing any blood. I'm not seeing any compound fractures. And I sure as shit don't see 19 injured people. I don't see it. I reviewed all the videos I can, and I don't see it. And there's always something conveniently in the way. And I haven't seen this enough times, but I reviewed a video a few days back, and they're claiming that the car at the arrest site and the car at the accident site are two totally different cars because one has racing stripes on the hood and the other one does not. Go ahead, Flea.
I see marketing value. The 2018 Dodge Challenger.
Well, I mean, you've seen Wag the Dog, right?
No, I've seen dog poop that I pick up every day, but Wag the Dog, no, I haven't seen.
Well, in the movie Wag the Dog, they basically, from my understanding, during the Clinton administration, the blowjob scandal covered up for the fact that we were bombing white people. I'm pretty sure it's Kosovo. Correct me if I'm wrong. So what happens in Wag the Dog is they completely flip the script around and they fake a war to cover up for the blowjob. And they have a Mr. Fix-It who is a, what in modern terms you would call a deep stater. And what he does is teams up with a Hollywood producer to produce the war. And the Hollywood producer calls up his friends, and one of his friends is Fad King, okay, who was played by Dennis Leary. And what Fad King's job is to do is figure out how to make money off the propaganda bullshit. So it would not surprise me if they sat around their little council, their little Soviet, and said, oh, well, maybe we can get a few more of these Dodges out on the market. So let's use a Dodge. You know, that wouldn't yeah. surprise me one bit.
It's all for sale.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, hell, it's kind of a mind, I'll try not to swear, kind of a mind screw. When you go to a store and there's a sale going on, right? Everything in the store is on sale except the cash registers and the shelves and, you know, stuff like that. So everything's always on sale. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked here. Any equivalence between a thief and the fascist? Complete lie. But it has been... Okay, Antifa has been criticized for its violent tactics. Antifa has garnered its share of liberal critics who say nothing, even neo-Nazism. Okay, you know what? I'm going to stop reading this article for now because I got another one that's lined up. It's really important. We're running out of time here. This is coming from the Jerusalem Post, posted by a discussion at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Apple, 21st Century Fox CEO, announced 1 million donations to the Anti-Defamation League. Big donations are coming into the Jewish NGO to help counter the racism shown at Charlottesville rally last week. The Apple CEO Tim Cook pledged that his company will donate $1 million each to the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center in the wake of the violent far-right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Maybe that's the place that we need to blitz. We need to team up and blitz that place. I can't even imagine what you'd find inside those buildings or what you'd find in their records. That's probably something that needs to be preserved. You know, if we can get in there before they burn the shit, we can get a look at what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe we can piece a lot more of this stuff together. But with that said, folks, we've reached the end of the hour. And I very much appreciate you guys being here all week. I appreciate our callers. And I hope you guys have a good weekend, all right? Everybody stay safe out there. And as soon as I pull up my song here, we're good.